called Not My Own. Not My Own. Look at somebody and say, not my own. Not my own, all right? And I'm really excited because this has to do with the fact that the day you asked Jesus to come into your life, things changed, right? And now you might think it's not a positive thing, but listen, positive things happen the day you asked Jesus to come into your life. Number one, he purchased you. He purchased you. He purchased you on the cross, but the day you received that, he purchased you, and there's a whole bunch of really cool things that happened to you, so that's what we're going to talk about. I really encourage you to take notes, just jot down these scriptures. I'm going to give you some scriptures, and you're going to go, and I think this is a couple of them you need to just go over every day this week, all right, every day, and chew on it, all right? So the day that I received Jesus, he purchased me. I am not my own, okay? I am not my own. I am not my own. Now, it is not good to own anybody. That's bad. We have laws against that, right? Okay, but when God owns you, everybody say, that's good. That is really good, all right? And he doesn't force you. Amen, okay? But he has purchased you and he now owns you. So we're going to talk more about that. I'm going to lay some groundwork just to get you on the right road. And I want to talk about our culture. You know, we live in the United States. We're classified as the Western culture, and that could be Western Europe and Europe and all that stuff. But the culture that we live in right now is negative. It is the culture that we live in is trying to permeate every area of our life. It's permeating our media and our social media, okay? And so much of it is bad. But there's good things about social media. Social media is actually powerful in a good way. I learned so much, okay? Just natural things on social media, okay? And spiritual things. So there's some good. But let me tell you this. The culture that you are living in is trying to get into your mind and your heart in so much negative stuff. Pastor D, this is such a joyful way to start church. I know, but hang in with me, all right? So I want to talk about just to lay the groundwork, just to get you all on the right highway, I want to talk about our public schools. Okay? Somebody's car is beeping. I can hear. Okay. Now, if you are a teacher in our public schools or administrator, you are my heroes. Christian teachers, and I know some, I just heard a really amazing report. What's the Southern School District? I just heard an amazing thing about the superintendent of school and what they're aware of the negative culture and the change they are navigating and trying to throw out. Okay, so you're my heroes, and you just, great job. But let's talk about our schools. Your county, we got some pretty good ones, okay? And then there's a couple, okay, so our public schools in your county are pretty good, but there are other parts of the country, okay, and it is crazy. It is bad. It is not God, okay? And it'll get here, all right? And we got to be armed for it. So our public schools, all right? Now, did you know that our country is 246 years old? The nation we live in is, happy birthday, 246 years old. And the first 186 years of our nation, by the way, definitely not perfect nation, okay? But the first 186 years of this nation, did you know that you could read your Bible in school? Did you know that you could pray in public schools? Did you know that you could talk about Jesus in the public schools? All right? For the first 186 years. And it wasn't until 1962. And things changed. All right? In 1962, the Supreme Court decided that it was unconstitutional. Ready? Ready? To listen. To pray in schools. Now, before that, it was never called it was called the Christmas play, and it wasn't called the holiday season, right? What before that? Right? And at Christmas time, they told the story of Jesus being born in public schools. But in 1962, the Supreme Court said it's unconstitutional. All right? And they're sitting there trying to get God out of the schools in 1962. 1963 rolls around and they go, you know, we didn't get enough of God out of the schools. Nope, we didn't. So we are going to say, rule, unconstitutional, to pray in schools. Because, you know, and then 2 years later, 1965, they say it's, they ruled it's unconstitutional to read your Bible and Bible verses in school. Up until that time, we were doing it. It was in there. You could read your Bible. Teachers would read Bible scriptures in public schools, okay? And those of you that are and a little bit older, you lived that, okay? I remember a teacher whipping out a Bible and say, this is our Bible verse for the day. I remember doing the nativity scene at Christmas in public schools because I'm so young, okay? Now, I always try to look through somebody else's eyes. As I've gotten younger, okay, I always try to see the other side of the story. Like, what are you doing? So I get it when, if a parent is not a Christian and their kid is in public schools and we're talking about Jesus, okay? I get it. I didn't agree. But I can look through their eyes why they might be complaining, okay? But I thought about this. Let's suppose I move to the Middle East, to some Islamic country, okay? And I have my kid in their public schools, and they are teaching my children about Islam, okay? And I start complaining. I don't like that. You know what they're going to say? Too bad. Let the door hit you when you go out, okay? So just thinking on that a little bit, okay? But here's what's happened. God has been kicked out of our country and our schools for sure, okay? Now, there's a good solution. So you should be writing, God got kicked out, but hang on for the solution, okay? And the solution is we've been doing it here in our church and churches in America. We've been doing it, all right? Let me give you an example, okay? Okay. Object lesson. Let's pretend this room, and I know a lot of people want to do this. This room had no windows. How many of you like those black interior? Okay, no windows, no doors. This is all okay. And if I were in this building, in this room with no windows, no glass, no doors, and we turned off the light, what would happen? Dark. Okay, pitch black. Darkness would flood in. And you know what the definition of darkness is? The absence of light. The absence of light. Okay, and this applies to the spiritual realm, okay? You take knowledge of the Word of God and you take who God is and the revelation of all of that. You take that out, guess what you've got? Darkness. So, that's what's been going on, right? But I got a solution, okay? This gets happy. And you, a lot of you are doing this, okay? All right? So you have to understand what happens. So the result of darkness in our school systems and in our society is this thing called secular humanism. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of that, all right? Okay, I'm going to read you the definition for it, okay? Because that's what's going on. That's what's going on in our culture here. Ready? Secular humanism is human beings, this is what they say, this is what's kind of, human beings are capable of being ethical and moral without religion or belief in deity. That's the stink that's out there, right? And you know, real simple, it's all about self. Self. It's all about self. Self. Like, I'm my own God. Don't tell me what to do. I can make my own truths. Okay? Alrighty? Now, that is the worst thing that we can have in our schools and our society, okay? Where we just kick God out, and that's where we are. So, what do we do? Okay, this is the happy place. What do we do? Ready? So, you can take your children and put them in Christian school, and that's good, but maybe you can't afford that. Or you can take your children out because it's dark, all right? There's absence of God, right? You can take your kids and you can homeschool them, and that's good. But some of you, and I actually have a degree in elementary education, and I homeschooled one of my kids for almost 2 months, and I about killed her. She's an amazing girl now. And I thought, some of you, you'll probably kill your kids or kill yourself because you don't have that personality. What is that? That nurture, okay? All right. So those are possibilities, all right? And you have to be called. All right, I saw somebody look at me. I'm going to look over here. Okay. So here's what God's called the church to do, and we are doing it. Right? We are doing it. We are pumping up our kids with light. We are pumping up our kids with light. That's how you can do it, right? And so that's why I say get your kids to church, because we pump them up with the light of the gospel, who God is, who they are. They're more than conquerors. They lay hands on the sick. We pump them up, okay? Okay. But if you only bring them once every 3 weeks or whatever, okay, that's not going to work unless maybe, just maybe, you have three-hour Bible studies at your house with the Word of God. Okay, then, okay, but if you're not doing that and you bring them once a month, okay, your kids are not going to be pumped up, and it is dark out there, all righty? So I was trying to think of a good example. Get you on the hair. Ready? Research. I did a little Googling. Okay. Research show that our ethnic backgrounds, you know, our ethnic traits and our ethnic cultures, like where you came from, okay, disappear in a couple of generations. And I've seen it. Okay, such as if your parents came first generation from Italy, you may still like pasta and pizza, but you have lost the language, number one goes, okay, and so many things that they brought into this country. Man, they had work ethics. Okay, and they had family stuff. So research shows in a couple of generations, that just goes out the door, okay? Even though, alrighty. But did you know the Greeks got it? You know what they do? They have Greek school. Yeah, yep. And I know of one, well, back when I was in Jersey for sure, okay? But they put their kids in Greek school. Do you know why they do that? Because they're looking at this world and they're like, they're not going to teach my kids my culture. So I'm going to put them in my school, and they'll learn the language, and they'll learn our culture. All right? Pretty smart. All right. Now, that's what the church has done. We say, bring your kids to church, and we'll put this in them. Okay? We'll put this in, but you got to bring them. Bring them to youth group. Bring them to camp, because they get washed all over there. All right? Now, so let me jump back. So bring them to church, all right? But I do say, I did not have my kids in Christian school. I tried the homeschool thing. Okay, so my kids were in the public school. But I want to tell you, I met some amazing teachers, and I started out volunteering. Okay, even though I had a degree, I didn't tell anybody my degree, and I went to this one teacher 1 hour, like once a month. I volunteered because I had four kids. It was crazy, okay? And you know what she did? She had me sit in the corner and cut out 5,000 stars. And I didn't complain. One, I was out of my house for 1 hour, kids. Okay? And as I was faithful, she said, hey, I got some kids that are kind of struggling in reading. I have a minor as a reading specialist. Okay? She didn't know that. And she said, could you just sit with them and help them reading? All right? So I did that. So I said, and then my kids, my last couple hit the middle school, and Jack actually lied to me. He did. Hey, Dee, just come with me once to the middle school. We're going to do an you know, an object lesson and tell them about Jesus. I was like, yeah, you're doing it. So I went once, and he never came back, and I was there. I was like, you stinker, okay? But it was the best thing for me. So I was volunteering in a middle school, and we did a morning program with the, and these were, most of the morning kids were, matter of fact, they were all Christians, and we just da-da-da-da. And then once a week, we would do the last period of the day. You could get a pass to come to, we ran almost 100 kids. Now, they weren't listening to me because I was not cool. We had a cool young guy who played guitar and sang and stuff like that and stuff. So we kind of got, I kind of got around. I was known. And I can't tell you how many times I would have a teacher, because I had been faithful and coming and serving in the school and all this stuff, teachers would grab me and say, hey, can I talk to you a minute? Pull me aside. And she said, that child that comes to this afternoon who did not know Jesus yet, she says, I want to show you a note they wrote, and it's really bad. She said, would you pray for them? I had that happen dozens of times, teachers and stuff like that. So, and most of those, some of those were Christian teachers, others were not, but they just knew something good was going on. So, why do I tell you that? Because you can be pumping up and being a light even in dark places. But I want to tell you one more story about this. This is my older friend at his church. It was a large church. The coach to their town that they lived in attended their church. And the coach came up to him one day. He said, hey, would you be our chaplain? And he's like, what? He said, would you be the chaplain to our football team, high school football team, and pump them up before they go on the field? And the pastor said, hey, listen, the only way I know how to pump up people is with the word of God. And the coach said, give it to them. And he says, listen, you could get in trouble. He says, I don't care. So this pastor did this for 2 years, and he'd go in before the football game, and he'd pump them up. He'd tell them about the stories about David and Goliath and all these victory things like that. All right. Now, I tell you all of that because I don't think that's going to slide anymore in our public schools the way they are right now. Okay? Okay. But we get to make change, and we get to make change. And you get to get into your schools, all right? And you can start by cutting out 5,000 stars and being faithful and doing this and going to PTO meetings or PTA, whatever they call them, and going on school boards and stuff. But we can make a change. We can make a change. So what do? Besides making a change, you bring your kids to church, right? Bring your kids to church. Bring them to camp. Bring them to youth group. Fill up your cars, all right? Let me ask you this. Have you ever said this? The world is going crazy. Yeah, it's going crazy. Okay, let's get to the Word of God. Open up to Proverbs, okay? I was just setting the path of darkness and the world and culture, okay? Proverbs chapter 29. I'm going to read this out of the King James, and then I'm going to read out of the New Livings, okay? Listen to this. Out of the King James, because most of you know this and probably memorize it. Where there is no vision, the people perish, right? But he that keeps the law is happy. But listen to the New Living, all right? When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, crazy, right? But whoever obeys the law is joyful, all right? Now, a lot of times we use this scripture and we go, hey, if you don't have a personal vision in your life, you're just gonna, right? And you should have vision in your life, but that's not really talking about this, okay? All right, that's true, okay? But it's talking about when a people get flooded with who God is. Know their God, know God. And when they are, then society, the culture, is a whole lot better, right? All right? So, but when you take God out of a society, it's bad. It's crazy. What did they say it is? One's wild, right? Now, you may not recognize how crazy bad it is, okay? Because maybe you just met the Lord. But I'm telling you, the more you get into reading the divine, the law, the Word of God, you'll go, oh yeah, it's crazy out there. Oh yeah. Gosh, did you see what they did? Alrighty. So here's the good part is we don't have to worry about that because the Bible says where there's more and more sin, what happens? The grace of God shows up strong. where there's, and it's crazy out there. There's a lot of crazy sin going on. But the Bible says, hey, where there's more and more sin, that's okay. Don't worry about that. The grace of God shows up on the scene. The grace of God, okay? And God is waiting to release his grace. He wants it to flood into this world. But, and by the way, tell your neighbor, you're a carrier of the grace of God. You're a carrier of God, okay? But the thing is, if you don't know that you're free, you can't tell the world how to get free, okay? So you got to know that you're free. First things first, all right? All righty, and you know, okay, so we're going to talk about our body that's not our own, and here's your main idea, because I always have one main thing. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's your post-it note for the week, okay? Write this down, ready? Let me get mine. God purchased your body to free your body. What? Hang in there. God purchased your body to free your body. Now, a lot of you know this. God purchased your body. But let me give you the scripture. Open up to 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. All right? God purchased your body to free your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is what? In you. Who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. Oh, I like that. All right. So when you, now a lot of you know this, and this is just like a reminder, and it should keep you happy, but there's one thing to know it, and the other thing is to live it every day. So when you accepted Jesus, you are purchased and you are not your own. You are purchased. Okay, so if I go to the grocery store and I hand them, oh, do you know what eggs cost this week? Holy cow. Yeah, four somewhere like that. So I'm going to go hand them my money and I'm going to purchase those eggs. Well, listen, you said, Jesus, I accept you. And then you are purchased and he owns you, right? This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to these Christians, and they are being bombarded, slammed with darkness in the world, and just dark. And they, listen, you think it's bad here? It was way badder over there, all right? So there, it's just bad and darkness. And he says, hey, guys, don't you realize when you accepted Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in you, and he lives in you. Hey, guys, don't you realize that? Now, God is omnipresent, okay? And sometimes I try thinking about that, my brain still can't wrap around that. But I believe it because the Bible says that. So if you have not received Jesus, God is all around you. And he's after you. He's after you, okay? He's all around you. But the day that you say, Jesus, after, okay, I accept you. I accept you into my life. Come into my life. The day you do that, it's the most amazing thing. He comes and lives inside of you. Everybody say, God lives inside me. The Spirit of God lives inside me. Woo, okay. And Paul is saying to these people, I almost want to go, duh, but hey, you guys, God purchased you, and now he lives inside you, all right? Some of you are like, I don't get it. Just hang in there, all righty? Now, let's read verse 20, and then I have another story for you. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So we can honor God with our bodies, right? Now, I'm going to read this out of the Living Translation, okay? And then I'm going to tell you a story. Living Translation. Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you? That he lives inside of you? Your body does not belong to you. For God has bought you with a great price, so use every part of your body to give glory back to God, because God owns you. I can't say it any better. God owns you. Okay, let me tell you a story. I'm going to try to say the names. You probably know I'm going to talk. I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to change the names. Please don't watch this, okay? So as parents, wait till your kid hits 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay? All right? And this parent, anybody have ground rules at your house? Okay, all right. So when they hit 13, 14, 15, this teen says, hey, I want to go get a piercing. And they said, ground rules. No this, no this, no this, no this, no this, no this, no, 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 okay, all right. No, no, those are ground rules. But the day you take care of your bills and live under somebody else's roof, all these parents, you can do what you want, but no, okay? What do you mean? You don't own me. This is my body. I can do whatever I want. So that teen, I can leave some of this out. So that teen, it wasn't our family. It wasn't our family. Okay. So the teen went and got one of those tongue piercing, but what were the ground rules? And so every time they see the parent, they're talking like this. And one day that week, like in a couple days, it was a guy. Okay. It was a guy that did this. Okay. What does things are come on? Okay. Oh, whatever. Jeez, Louise. Okay. Anyway, so the mom is talking to this teen who's not even 16, and she goes, she sees that thing in his mouth, and it was ugly. Okay? But let me tell you what. Parents scored, kids zero. As parents, you need to score on the scoreboard, on things like that, okay? Just some of you write these down. You'll say, oh, I remember Pastor, you told me this, okay. All right. Now, in our culture, men and women are going, you can't tell me what to do. You don't know me. This is my body. I can do whatever I want. And I'm not talking about a certain subject, okay? But as a Christian, raise your hand, as a believer, to follow Jesus, right? You can't do that. You can't, all right? Okay, because guess what? This body is not my own. Say that. My body's not my own. It's been purchased and bought by the precious blood of Jesus, okay? So as Christians, you have to have a different view and understand, I can't do that. Okay, do that. I can't do sinful things out there, okay? And bad living. I can't do that. Now, I can, but I can't. I can. But I can't. Well, that's because you're Pastor D. No. I'm a child of God. I've been bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus, and my body's not my own. My body is going to live holy, right? Everybody say, I'm not. My body's not my own. Okay? Okay. And listen, you got to see this as a positive. No, this is positive. This is a negative, all right? So I want to go over two points about our bodies. Number one, here we go. If you're taking notes, you should write this down, because you're just going to hear me today, and some of you are like, you got to write this down, okay? Here we go. Point number one, your body has been purchased, and you are free. Your body has been purchased, and you are free, all right? First, you have to see that, and some of you are thinking, well, what am I free from? What am I free from? You're free because you've accepted Jesus. You're free from the kingdom of darkness, from Satan's kingdom. I am free, okay? And everything the world has thrown at me, I'm free. I'm free. I don't have to get sucked down the toilet with that, all right? And I'm free from sin. I'm free from addiction. I'm free from anxiety. I'm free from hatred. I'm free from anger. I'm free from everything negative the world has to throw at me. I'm free. Everybody go, whoo! Come on. I'm free. Yeah, you ought to, like, wow, okay, I'm free. And I only had 1.5 cups of coffee today, okay? And the Bible says, he sets you free. He sets you free. So I'm free. I am free, all right? Now, open up to Colossians chapter 1, okay? I am free, and nothing in this world has the power, even though it's here, has the power over me. All right, Colossians chapter 1. For he has rescued you. The day you accepted Jesus, man, there was a great rescue that went on. Some of you are like, yeah, I remember, okay? Okay? Okay, so he has rescued you he takes you out of one place and puts you in another place. Where did he take you out of? Ready? He took you out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought you into the kingdom of his dear son. Woo, think about that. And verse 14, who bought our freedom with his precious blood and forgave all our sins. So I want you to think about what happened. What happened when you said, Jesus, I need you to be my Lord and Savior. I just, okay, all right. Now, the day that happened to me, I didn't feel nothing. Some of you bawled like a baby, just cried and, you know, Kleenexes. Some of you, I was like, saw stars, okay? But that's okay, all right? But I want to tell you, the day you say that, something incredibly powerful goes on in the inside. It changes. Light comes into you. The life of God. God comes into you. Okay? So I don't have to cry about that, but that's what happened. And listen, that's why the Bible tells you to renew your mind so you know that, then you'll live like that. Otherwise, okay, now. So think about when you said, Jesus, you're the only way to heaven. Jesus, I want you to come into my life, okay? So Jesus is the Son of God. He always existed, right? And then he came to this earth in a human body, right? Came to the earth. And the Bible says, listen to this, he was tempted in every area that y'all were. Some of you are like, well, no. He was tempted in every way that you were to sin. He was tempted, all right? But he said, no. He said no to those thoughts, that temptation. And he said no, and he conquered it. And because he conquered it, then they nailed him to the cross, right? Nailed him to this cross. But because he said no to every temptation, he did not sin, and then they nailed him to the cross, his blood was pure and blameless, right? How many of you know this story? I'm telling you, you already know this, but listen. And so he never sinned. He did what the first Adam couldn't do. So his blood is pure and blameless, and it's powerful. And the day you receive Jesus into your life, there is power that you can walk free. Everybody go, yay, Pastor D, okay. Okay, I know, it sounds like woohoo, okay. So, the day I accepted Jesus, he delivered me out of darkness, put me into his kingdom of light, put me into his power, okay, and guess what, I'm free. I'm a free people. I'm free. I'm free from this power and the darkness. I am free. I am free, okay? And I am free because of the most precious substance in the universe. It was the blood of Jesus that was out without sin, okay, that bought me my freedom. I am not my own, but baby, I am free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, now I want to give you two scriptures. And I read these scriptures at least once a day sometimes, depending what's going on. And I know a lot of you have a Bible plan. Like you read your Bible every day. Sure, Pastor D. I read my Bible every day. And you know why you read your Bible every day? It's saying, I need light in here. I need light. There's so much darkness out there. I just need to get reminded of all the light, okay? That's why you read your Bible, okay? So I want you to jot down these two scriptures. They're 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, okay? But I want you to read them a whole bunch of times this week until it just, okay? 1 Peter, here we go. Start declaring them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are not like that. You're not like the darkness. You're not like the world. You're not like the crazy culture. For you are chosen. Woo! You are chosen people, okay? So, I am not like the world. I am not hopeless. I'm not a sinner. I'm free because I'm not like the world. Tell your neighbor you're not like the world. You're not like the world, right? Okay? I'm chosen. And you know what that chosen word means? It means you are unique. Some of you are like, you're not kidding. Okay. So yeah, you are unique. You are unique, all right? So you are purchased and you are chosen and you are unique. And you are not like that world. You are free, all right? Then it goes on to say, you are a royal priest and a holy nation. All right, so every Christian is a royal priest. Bet you never looked at yourself like that. But every Christian is a royal priest. And you know what priests did in the Old Testament? They would offer sacrifices. Okay? So every time you pray, you're offering a sacrifice. Every time you worship, you're offering a sacrifice. Every time you serve, you're offering a sacrifice, okay? So every time you do that, you're offering a sacrifice. But first you have to know, I'm holy. I'm a holy priest. Otherwise, you're not going to be seeing that like that, all right? First you have to know, I am a holy priest. I am holy. I am holy. Amen, okay? And you might be thinking, Pastor D, how am I holy? because you are purchased with the precious, pure, blameless blood of Jesus, and you are holy. And you know, God sees you that way. He just looks at you just like he looks at Jesus, blameless, pure, holy, without sin, stain, okay? All right, whew, praise God, all right. Okay, let's go on. The next part. Where am I? Oh, wrong. Here we go. God's very own possession, okay? And as a result, you show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Okay. So you now, if you've received Jesus, you've been purchased, you now have the ability to shine light. You do, okay? You have the bill, and then listen, you have, so you should let the world see your smile. You should let the world see your peace. You should let the world see your joy. You should let the world see you've got purpose, all right? And even though the world around you is going crazy, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? What are they going to try to put in my kids? Oh my gosh. Okay, even though that's going on around you, because you've been purchased, because you know you're holy and blameless and just wonderful, you can walk around and go, I don't care. You're not going to put that on me. You're not going to put that on my kids, because I am going to be flooded with light and my kids are going to be pumped up with light. Amen. Praise God. So don't go fearing on me, all right? So parents, again, get your kids to church, all right? Let me read you a good, cool scripture here. Back here. Where is it? Deuteronomy. This is Moses, and Moses is having this face-to-face conversation with God, and he's given him all these directions. And this one, it really starts in verse 1, but let me jump in. He says, hey, write these commandments, the law that I've given you today, on your hearts. Get them inside of you and inside your kids. Now I get it when you have a child that's a teen, and you have just received Jesus, and they're a teen, and they're like, what? You're all crazy. Okay, we're not. Okay. But this is, listen to what he says, okay? Get them inside your children. Talk to them whenever you are sitting at home, walking the streets. Talk to them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall asleep at night, okay? Live it in front of your kids. Just use every avenue. Pray over your food. I didn't have to preach a sermon with Father God. Everybody bow your heads. We're going to pray over food. Okay, we get up in the morning and we just say, oh, this happened. Well, praise God. And you just start sliding it in all over the place. And you start pumping your kids with who they are, the light of the gospel. And you don't have to be afraid. Oh, the world's so bad out there. Okay, but you have a part to play. Right? We do a really good job here at church, but you have a part to play. Okay, jump down to verse 10, 1 Peter 2:10, whoops, wrong one, Deuteronomy, okay, that's such a good one, okay, once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's people, all right, I am God's people, I am God's tribe, I am God's nation, I am God's people, okay, you're not a nobody. You're just amazing, okay? Now, yes, we live in this country. And yes, I love this country. And yes, I want it to succeed. And I know it's got its issues and stuff like that. But when it doesn't matter what's going on in this country, I'm going, wait a minute. I am one of God's people. I'm a kid of the Most High God. I am a part of his tribe, all right? So that's amazing. That's amazing when you know that and you just start walking around. And some people think you're just a regular Joe Schmo or Joe Jane, whatever, Jane, whatever, like that. But no, I'm going, you may think that, but I am a child of God. I am a child of God. He lives inside of me. I am somebody spectacular and amazing because of who lives inside of me. So put your head up and start smiling, all right? And then people will start asking, how come you're always smiling? I've had people that I worked with, they go, how come you're always so nice and happy? Not always, but I try, okay? No, you know, yeah, okay, all right? And I'm like, well, that's because I'm one of God's people. I know my sins are forgiven. Thank God they're forgiven. I know that all that he's done in me, I am free. I have been purchased. I am righteous. I am holy. Woo! All right. All right. Let's read the second part. Ready? Second part. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Okay. Anybody remember your before Christ days? okay. I try not to focus on that. Okay. But I knew enough about God that I knew I was in trouble. I knew enough about God that I knew I was in trouble. Okay. And some of you, you know, the Big Ten, you did probably most of them, right? And you knew you were in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. I knew that I didn't do enough good to outweigh all the bad. I knew I was in trouble. Okay. But, start your sentence with but. But the day I met Jesus Christ at that small group and asked Jesus to come into my life, man, okay, I knew my sins were forgiven. I knew that I was now holy. I know I was blameless. And I knew that I was a child of God. Changed everything. Okay, and because of the mercy of God. I love the mercy of God. I remember one of my kids, I said to him one time, I said, you are probably going to wear out the mercy prayer. God, I just need mercy. God, I just need mercy. God, I just mercy. I think he just, every time I do something wrong, God, I need mercy. Okay, and here's the really cool thing. The mercies of God are everlasting, one, and they're new every morning. So get up in the morning and go, God, I really blew it. I shouldn't have said that. Oh, my gosh. Okay, but God, I thank you that I'm just telling you how bad it was, and I thank you that I'm forgiven, and I thank you your mercies are new every morning, all right? And he sees me like that. Everybody say mercy. See if you can wear that one out, all right? Praise the Lord, all right. Here's point number two. Here we go. We can do this. Write this down. Your body is free to live free. Your body is free, right? It's been purchased. It's free. So now you can live free. Your body is purchased. It's free. So now you can live free. You can live free. Okay, but first, you have to know I was purchased, okay, I've been rescued, and then there's things you do to live free. There's a whole bunch of things you don't do, but there's things you do to live free. Turn over to Romans 6:6, all right? We know that our old sinful selves were crucified on the cross. Okay, so the day you accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you know what he did? He took this your spirit that was full of sin, that was full of darkness, and he nailed it to the cross, and it was dead, and they put his life and his light into you. But before that, it was dead, right? And then it goes on, so that sin, he did this, and this is why, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Can we sing that song? We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Hallelujah. Okay. So stop saying, that's amazing. I mean, let me say that. That's amazing, okay? So, but how can we say, I keep messing up. I keep failing over here. I can't do this. I can't do that. There's a little bit of truth, but the real truth is no, okay? The real truth is I have power to overcome. I have now the power to overcome. Okay, overcome whatever's trying to mess me up, overcome anxiety, overcome anger, overcome hate, overcome oppression, depression. I have the power that lives inside of me, so now I can overcome. Every say, overcome. I can overcome, right? All right. But there's steps you have to take, all right? Jump down to Romans 6, verse 11. So you should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. So you should consider yourselves to be dead. Okay, that word consider means to calculate. That word, so you have to calculate in your brain, in your mind. You have to see in your mind that I am free. All right? So steps. First, I have to learn that I've been free. I've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, so I am now free. And then I have to believe that, and I have to see that in my life. I'm free. Heck no, you're not taking me down. That's not true. Okay? I have to believe it, and I have to see it, and I have to say it, okay? And that's why this is really exciting, because I am just reminding you over and over and over and over, hey, your body's not your own. You've been purchased. You're set free, all right? Now, so, but I have to learn it, and then I have to say it, all right? And you have to renew your minds to it, all right? Now, as an adult, I'm adulting today. Sherry says, I like that, adulting. Okay? I am bombarded, just like you, with all kinds of darkness, all kinds of thoughts. Just like Pastor D? Oh, yeah. Yep, okay? And it's all about D, self. Just, you can't tell me what to do. I can do what I want. I'm my own truth. I get bombarded with that. I'll do whatever I want. I can't believe it. Okay? I get bombarded just like you. All righty? So, but I have to consider, and then after that, then this fear, whoosh, some of you, anxiety, shh, okay? Just like all of you. But here's what I have to do. I have to come to the place when I say, no, I have the power to say no, and that is not true on who I am, and I will not do that. Amen. Praise God. Verse 12, let's read that, okay, and then I have one more scripture. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Sinful desires, you know, like you could fill in the blanks, all right, okay? Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil and serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. Woo! Give yourself completely to God. All right, so these hands, this mouth, this body, it can be for righteousness and holiness, or, okay, all right? So instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. All right, so I have to see myself, I'm free. I don't have to obey that, okay? And now, I have to do some things. So I can do two things with these hands. I can, oh my gosh, it is so bad out there. What are they trying to put into my kids? Oh my gosh. Or the Bible says men and women ought to always lift up holy hands and worship the Lord. That's a whole lot better, right? All right. So I can go, oh, or I can do this. Now, some of you, maybe you're new to walking with the Lord and you're like, oh, so awkward, Pastor D. People will see me. Listen, the more you fall in love with him, right? All right. So it starts in the heart. Starts in the heart. Before I do this, okay. Starts in the heart. And this is saying, God, I'm not going to worry. I'm not worrying about the darkness. I'm not going there, all right? And I know that your light's in me and it's going to shine in me and through me. And I thank you that you saved me, you set me free, and I am just rejoicing and I'm just going to worship you. I'm going to worship you. I'm worshiping you. Amen. Now, for when we come up here and worship, I'm not like this the whole time, okay? My arms get tired. But, you know, as the Lord he just moves on your heart, you can do this. Praise God. All right. Okay, let's talk about this tongue. This tongue can go negative. Anybody's tongue go negative once in a while? Once. Just once in your life, right? All right? Just once. Okay? Okay? All right. So, but how about if I decide my tongue belongs to God, right? This is not my body. My tongue belongs to God. And I'm going to dedicate my tongue, all right, to you. Lord, I am yielding this as an instrument for your glory. Write this scripture down. Ephesians 4:29. I let no corrupt communication come out of my mouth, proceed out of my mouth, but that which is good and edifying for the moment. Ephesians 4:29-32, all right? So, and then, you know what? So this tongue that can go negative, and by the way, your spouse will tell you if you're negative, like, what's going on? What's going on, okay? So then, how about if I say, I'm just going to use my mouth to worship the Lord. I'm only going to let good things come out of my mouth. And the most amazing thing, when I'm doing this, I just, like, worship God with my mouth and tell him he's wonderful, I love him. And worship isn't, all the time, unless you're Wanda who sings so nicely over there and just, she can do that. Okay, but my worship is a lot of just words. God, you're wonderful. You're magnificent. I just adore you, okay? And when you do that, then the negative stops. You can't do the both together. So why don't you just do this and the negative just falls to the ground. All right. How about these bodies? How about I yield this body to give glory to God? What do you mean, Pastor D? Well, how about you say, Lord, I am yielding this body to serve you. What? I am yielding this body to be an instrument to serve you, right? So how about you serve at YCF? You knew I was going to do this. Take out the blue card, all right? But seriously, serve here at YCF. You yield your body. I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve a Christian organization, our community, okay? And This is what happens when you yield your body to serve the Lord. Not about me. But when you serve the Lord, this he just starts doing crazy good things inside of you. I'm telling you. And he just floods you with light. And the more that you're serving the Lord, you won't have time to do all the things that you used to do to get yourself in trouble. Yeah, because you're serving the Lord. I mean, I used to have so much free time, and then but now I'm serving the Lord, and I have friends, and I'm worshiping God, and he just floods me with light. Just so cool, okay? So, how do I apply this? How about a couple weeks ago, we made an announcement, and we said, hey, does anybody, we need some help on the snow shovel. You're all praying we don't have snow, I know, thanks. Okay, I love snow. Not on Sunday. Okay, but you know, you could fill out this and say, oh, you know, I can serve over there, or I can serve on the lawn, or I can serve in children's ministry, I can serve this, I can serve that, all right? And we're just yielding our body to say, Lord, this is not my body, I'm just yielding it to you, and I'm going to serve you. Amen. Praise God. That's about, okay, what? I didn't hear you. Oh, okay. Maybe we don't do sign language, it'd be so cute, all right. But all of this is done in faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. One last scripture, Galatians 2:20. Okay? We do all of this we by faith. Here we go. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, dead, okay? It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It's not about my I don't own this, right? And the life which I now live in this flesh, in this body, this body that I'm living right now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have faith. You walk by faith in every area. The day you received Jesus, it was by faith. Listen, when you pray, it's by faith. I'm praying to a God who I cannot see. I'm praying that I'm going to receive the promises that I just prayed. It's by faith, all right? It's all by faith. But this is talking about as you walk through this world that is dark, that is crazy, that it is bad. As I'm walking through this world, I am going to, by faith, yield this body to you, Lord, okay? By faith, I'm gonna walk in holiness. I'm going to walk in righteousness. By faith, I am going to watch this mouth. By faith, I'm going to forgive people. By faith, everything I do, I'm going to do for you by faith. Amen. So, number one, you have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus, and he has set you free, right? And because I'm free, I'm going to live free. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Do you want to say something now? Okay. How about we just go, Father, thank you for setting me free. Really, I should say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for your blood that was shed for me. And now I thank you that I'm free. And Holy Spirit, you don't have to say this every day, but Holy Spirit, I thank you that you would just encourage us and remind us of this life that we have now, this new life of being purchased and free, Father, and that we would yield our bodies to you alone. We'd yield everything to you alone and serve you and love you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Sherry, come on up.
I was kind of praying about, I want to start a conversation with you guys, and we're a little late, so don't check out. In 1984, President Ronald Reagan made this day a special day. I could cry a little bit. It's the Sanctity of Human Life Day. How do you know that the Lord values every life out there? Every life. And you know, there's things in the news all the time. We have bombings and murders and shootings in our city. Because something in our society has taught us to not value every human life. People that are different than us, that think different than us. Jesus died for every single one of them, that they could live a life of freedom, love, joy, to be loved and to love others. And, you know, sometimes we as Christians, we get a little one-sided in things, and I'd like to broaden it a little bit. But the day of the National Day of Sanctity of Human Life was so the president at that time said, hey, let's not forget the third Sunday of every month. Let's remember how valuable and precious every life is, and every child is a gift. Planned or unplanned, every child is an absolute gift from God. And God says that every person was born with a purpose. And every person should be loved and valued. And we do live in this broken world and things get really twisted. And I just want us to pause and just remember how every life is absolutely valuable. The born and the unborn. The born and the unborn. And all of us have a part to play with the born and the unborn. And I work with teenagers and young adults, and I can't tell you how many conversations along these lines that I've had. And for the sake of time, I want to say this. Every person in this room has a part to play with the born and the unborn. And I want to challenge you, as you know, Pastor was saying, like, how can I get involved? I want to say this. Yes, we're to vote according to the Bible, but here's where the church drops the ball. They just vote and they just have an opinion, but we are to be a part of the solution. And I want to say this. I work with a lot of young parents or people that are about to be parents, and they feel like they don't have options. They don't have a support system. They don't have a safe place. They don't have a place to go. And my grandparents would take in young adults. They would always, like, so my uncle's in the back. Remember this, we always had someone living with grandma and grandpa. It just, home wasn't always a safe place, and they just needed a safe place to go to be loved unconditionally. Someone can teach them skills, you know, how to change your oil, how to cook, and how to just love yourself and love other people. It's called discipleship. It's doing life with people. But I want to say this, like, there are so many other issues that this door should open up, and I'm going to open up all the doors. For every parent that says, I'd like to keep my child, they need help. So I want to challenge you, volunteer at a pregnancy center. Volunteer, they have young mothers shelters in our, and even the shelter. And these people have taken so much courage to raise their children, and they need help, and all we do is vote. They need help. And they need love, and they need options, and they need someone showing up their door, not just Christmas with some groceries. There's more to be done, and there's foster care. There are so many children that need homes, and we forget about them. We have something to do for the born and the unborn, and when you meet someone and they say they're pregnant and they got 1,000 things going through their head and they might be kicked out of their house, could you be the one that say, I'd love you to live with me? I'll clear out that room. Please live with me. Let's do life together. I want to be on your team. And, you know, they might say, I don't know if I can keep my child. You know, like, adoption can be very scary. It can be very overwhelming if you ever looked at all those forms. And most people would be more open if they knew the family that that child would be going to. They knew they'd be close by. And they need help being connected with those families. So I'm starting this conversation that I want the Holy Spirit to finish with you. What is my part for the born and the unborn? Yes, we are to vote. But guys, I think it's lazy sometimes when that's all we do. Pray about it. Maybe you can provide respite for a foster family. You know, they have all these children, and sometimes they just need to get away with their spouse, go on a little vacation. Would you be able to take those children? Could you get your clearances taken care of to be a part of this solution where every life is so valued? We are called to lay our lives down. Everybody hear me? I'm starting a conversation. Please be praying about it. Lord God, we love you so much. Lord, I thank you you're speaking to us all right now, our part to play with the born and the unborn. Lord, how can we be a support? How can we be encouragement? How can we lay our lives down, not just in word, but in action, Lord? And I lift up young fathers that are so scared and the weight of the world is on their shoulders. Lord, I pray strength and grace, provision in Jesus' name. Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you that you are showing us how to be Jesus to this world, not just in word, but in action. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are loved. Please send that message everywhere you go. Amen.